2 Corinthians chapter 10 in your Bibles. Thank you for all you that are serving and have served. You said stand a while ago, and I know that's what we normally do. I tell you, some can't stand, and we honor you for your service as well. Thank you all that have served and are serving. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse number 3, just a quick spot here. I want to just give you a thought tonight in the midst of a world that seems to be going crazy around us. This morning, give you just a thought maybe to help us a little bit this morning with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. I want you to get these verses, mark them, and memorize them, think about them, meditate on them. For though we walk in the flesh, that's what we are right now, we're in this flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So our warfare is not this flesh. Although we're in the flesh and everything we see is flesh, that's not where our warfare is at. It says in those brackets here, parentheses, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through who? Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Very, very good statements here in the Bible. And I want you to think about with us today and for this special day that we're kind of celebrating with the military. I want to say this. This is the title of the message: The Battle Will Come. The Battle Will Come. And we're in a fight. In fact, Paul, when he was getting ready to go off the scene talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." We are in a fight. We'll be in a fight from the day you enlist in this army for the Lord Jesus Christ all the way up to the day that you're gone from this army for the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a fight that you'll have to go through. But what you want to see from this, some things you want to understand from it, is just three areas, and then I'll try to break those down for you. Number one is this: the battlefield that we're in. You said we're in a battle. Yes. And we're fighting a fight. Yes. But it's the fight of faith. And so the battlefield that we have, the battlefield, he said in verse number 5, casting down, say the next word, imaginations. And at the very end of it there, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought. The battlefield is the mind. That's where the battlefield is at. See, it's not carnal. It's not my hands. It's not me fighting against somebody else's hands or somebody else's body. It's a battle of the minds. That's where this battlefield is at. Trying to change our thinking and disrupt our thought patterns and what we're doing. So it's a battle of the mind, the battlefield. And it talks about two things here. It talks about strongholds and it talks about imaginations. Imaginations are this, so you would understand it. It's the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present. So it's imaginations. It's getting some ideas in your mind about something. Now, eventually, those imaginations are like little building blocks. And the more of those imaginations you get built up, they usually build up walls and become strongholds, the Bible says. Strongholds. So what's a stronghold? It's a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. Folks, can I tell you what we're seeing in America today, all around us, in church and out of church, you're seeing people with imaginations or thoughts in their minds about certain things. And maybe those thoughts they're very passionate about and they've become strong holds in their mind. They're major causes or major thoughts that they have, and it's making us butt heads with the rest of the people around us. Amen? You're seeing this. You're seeing it everywhere. People that have very strong holds in their mind about a particular way things should be or way things should go. And you have other people have a very strong hold in their mind about the way they think things should be. And what's happening is your stronghold that's not flesh and blood. Now, me and Brother John, we wouldn't wrestle in flesh and blood, but he might in his mind, the battlefield in his mind, have a strong hold that's different than my stronghold. You following so far? He may think about something very passionately, about something different than the way I think about something. And that's what we see. And out of your mind, or what everything takes place in your life, comes out of the mind. That's where everything generates. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a person thinks, that's how he is in life. Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, etc., etc. So it's out of the mind, out of the heart, that things begin to come out into our lives. You say, why is that guy doing that? Because that's what's on his mind. That's what's in his heart. It's showing up in his life because it's what's in his mind. Now, it may be a strong hold, an imagination in his mind that's causing him to act or do or say the things that he's doing. We're following. We're getting it. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So all the issues that we have in life, they're really being generated by what we're thinking in our minds and our hearts. Makes sense. The battlefield. We think the battlefield is the people in our family we're fighting, or people in our jobs we're fighting, or the people on Facebook that we're fighting, or the people in politics that we're fighting. No, no, no. That's not the battlefield. The battlefield is our thinking. Our thinking, our thoughts. So the battlefield. And let me ask you this. Who's the battle foe? Who are we fighting? Who's the foe that we're fighting? You see, because we might start thinking, I'm fighting Brother Ed. No, I'm not fighting Brother Ed. Brother Ed's not fighting me. There's something behind the fights that we're seeing. There's some, in fact, let me tell you this. There's someone behind all the fights that we're seeing take place all around us. In our homes, amongst our friends, at our jobs, in our schools. There's something behind all the fighting that's taking place. It's not flesh and blood. It's something completely different. In fact, Satan's lies and trickery are the root of a lot of these problems. The battlefield is the mind. The battle foe is the Satan. In Ephesians 6:11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the who? Say it with me, church, the devil. The wiles of the devil, the trickery, the subtlety of the devil. So put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is what it says. You need to get these thoughts in your mind and understand this. You say, oh, that's kind of spooky. We're talking about spiritual things. Well, you're in church. That's what we talk about, spiritual things. It says in verse number 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Here it is again. Same thought. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, listen. So my fight's not with Brother Buddy or Brother Gary or Brother Gene or anybody else in this room. Our fight's not with each other. That's what we got to realize. The battlefield is in the mind. The battle foe, there's actually somebody spiritual pulling a lot of strings and influencing a lot of things to cause a lot of the problems we're seeing. The battle foe. The battle foe. Can I tell you, when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and he told them this, remember this statement? He told them in John chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the who? The devil. And he went on to say, he's a father of lies and deceit. He's been doing it since the beginning. And what was he trying to say to those Pharisees? Religious people now. Watch this now. Religious people. What was he saying to that religious crowd? What was he trying to get a hold of them? You are acting just like the devil. You've got a stronghold about what you believe about a religious belief. But what he was trying to get them to do is bring their religious belief into captivity with the knowledge of God. That's what he's trying to get them to do. They had their own idea. And folks, let me tell you, there's churches going on all over the world right here today that have their own idea of how things should be. And they're not trying to line that up with what the Word of God actually says. And so he told him, he says, you're actually working. Look, he said, I'm talking to you, young Pharisee, but he said, what I'm trying to tell you is there's something behind your Pharisaical religious beliefs. It's the devil. He's causing wrong types of thinking in our minds. It's something we got to get a hold of and realize that this is actually a true thing. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, the Bible talks about lost people in this world. And this is what it says. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world. Who's the god of this world, folks? The devil, Satan. That's what clearly. In Ephesians 2, it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, who in time past walked according to the course of this world and the prince and power of the air. That's who we used to be before we got saved. We were just walking on a course that the devil had set up for a lot of people. And there's a lot of people walking down that course right here today, just following along, blindly running along that course. And somebody came along my way at some point and told me, says, the course you're on will lead you straight to death and to hell. Say, oh, I don't like that word, but that's what the Bible says people go when they die in their sins. And somebody told me, you're going to have to get off that course. I said, well, how do you get off that course? Jesus Christ came and died on a cross, and he paid the debt of your sin. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him, you're taken off the course that is the devil's course, and you're put on the course that is Jesus Christ's course. And so this world's just trekking along a course and doesn't even realize it. He said, if our gospel's hid, it's hid in the lost, who the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so that's the idea. The gospel sets us free from the course that we used to be on. He says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? The devil will use any type of tool to try to blind the minds of people so that they will no longer believe what we're supposed to be teaching them about the gospel. Use all kinds of things. I think personally, it's just personal, you can just mark this off if you don't believe this, but I think personally, one of the most wicked devices that the devil has at his disposal is the media. I think that. I think the media is trying desperately to divide people. There's six things that the Lord hates. He's seven's abomination. And he says this, one of them is he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's all to me the media does, is try to cause division and sow discord amongst people. And so what it does is try to blind the minds of people, watch now, and create imaginations, create thoughts in our minds, create strong holds that cause me to think something one way that might be different than the way Brother John thinks it or whoever thinks it. And now I am fighting against, follow now, I'm fighting against somebody else. We're fighting each other. And you say, what's the fight about? Is it fight about flesh and blood? No, the fight's about something in this battlefield of the mind. And it's something the foe has used to try to darken my mind to get me fighting against a brother. You see how it works? This is the way this thing works. And if you're not aware of it, you can get pulled right into the problem that we're seeing. All of us can. He can use some types of education. You say, do you think education is wrong? No. But in some places, they're educating people out of a belief in God that God even exists. And you get enough of it being injected into the mind. Where's the battlefield, folks? It's where? The mind. Who's our foe? The devil. And what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to blind people with lies. He's the father of the lie. And so you get enough of this false information injected in the minds of somebody, and now you get a young person growing up, and a young person believe very strongly, watch now, an imagination and a strong hold. You get a young person with a strong hold. What's a strong hold? I don't believe in God anymore. We evolved from whatever. And now they clash against the truth. As you try to give them the truth, now you find a clash, and you find a being against each other, and you're fighting. And you say, I'm fighting against them, but listen, I want you to understand something. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against the battlefield of the mind and the foe that's trying to lie to people, because all he wants to do is divide and destroy. That's all he wants. And folks, you've got to understand that this is actually what's going on. So the battlefield, the battle foe, and then let me just do this one. For those of you that are military, you'll understand this. Our battle focus. Our battle focus. We've got to have a battle focus. And what we've got to realize is this, folks. What we're fighting is not carnal. What we're fighting is not flesh and blood. What we're fighting in this good fight of faith, what we're fighting something spiritual. And you're not always seeing it the right way. You need to get that. That's a good statement. We're not always seeing things the right way. And there's more to what we're dealing with than what's being seen. This is a spiritual and not a carnal fight. Folks, can I tell you something? Some of the hateful thoughts that you're seeing passing around, you're hearing some things. Some of the hateful, listen, folks, to be honest with you, some of the hateful religious things you're seeing taking place, some of the hateful actions that are taking place. Folks, I'm getting more and more disturbed in my spirit watching people burn flags and burn property and spewing foul language at each other. It's becoming more and more irritating to me as I watch it and I see it, to the point that I'm having to withdraw myself from everything that I'm watching so that I can just set my minds on good things. And the more you see it, the more aggravating you get. But I want you to understand, folks, listen, the things you're seeing happening and the bombarding of all of it in the media being shown, all this stuff, and sometimes it being twisted out of context and out of sorts, all the stuff you're seeing, I want you to understand something. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You say, but police officers here, it feels pretty flesh and blood when I'm having to fight with somebody hand to hand. Yes, but what you need to understand is this. There's something behind the flesh and blood that we're fighting. There's a bigger picture that's going on here. And you need to get a hold of this bigger picture. I want you to look with me just a couple places that illustrate this in Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew 26. Let's illustrate this a little bit, and you maybe get it. Let me tell you, this message is probably more pertinent than any message I could have preached this morning because of all that you're seeing happening around us. Matthew 26, verse number 39. Matthew 26, verse number 39. Jesus is going to the garden to pray. He's about to be offered up for our sins. Verse 39, Matthew 26. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, watch what he says here. Not as I will, but as thou will. Now, it's very interesting, because what I want you to see is God had a plan. God had a plan. Now, what you're about to see flesh and blood take place here. In fact, you're going to see flesh nailed to a cross and blood being let out. You're going to see something. But you got to understand there's a bigger picture than the flesh and blood. And God had a plan that was bigger than this persecution that was taking place. All right, so the Father had a plan. Verse number 40. And he cometh unto his disciples and find them asleep and said unto them, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now I want you to see something. Judas. Now you know who Judas was? Judas, just earlier, what had happened with Judas? Judas, the Bible says, it was filled with the devil. Now, Judas shows up. Folks, now I want you to get this. Judas shows up. Flesh and blood shows up to come and betray the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. There was something behind the flesh and blood. It wasn't all flesh and blood. There was something behind it. The devil was behind a lot of it. There's a spiritual battle. Look at verse number 48. And now he that betrayeth me gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss. Now watch as he kissed him. The same is he. Hold him fast. Hold him fast. So he's coming with a kiss. Hold the one that I'm going to kiss. That's the sign. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, watch this next phrase, friend. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it can feel like a friend. It can be a betrayal with a kiss. You say, I have someone that's close to me that's doing something very harmful to me. Let me tell you something. It's not flesh and blood. There's something behind it. It's something spiritual. Maybe they've been deceived. Maybe it's the devil directly. I don't know. But there's something behind it. And so we keep reading. Now watch this, verse 51. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant, the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legion of angels? There's probably here, if you do a little research, a legion is probably 6,000 soldiers. So if 6,000 soldiers times 12,000, you have 72,000 angels that can come. And in 2 Kings chapter number 19, one angel killed 185,000 people in one night. In today's vernacular, that was one bad dude. That may be 90s vernacular, I don't know. It was one bad dude. And so he could have called legions of them to come down and fight for them. So this is what I'm trying to get you to see. There was something bigger than the physical. What we can do sometimes is we can say, so that person came against me and is doing this, or that person's coming against the pastor, I'm going to defend him, or that person's going against my loved ones and they're saying this, or they're, and so I'm going to, I pull out my sword and chop off the head. I don't think he was aiming for the ear. I think he was aiming for his head. So I'm going to pull out a sword and chop off the head. Have you realized, watch this now, Jesus was telling him, there is a bigger picture here. You're trying to fight in the carnal. You're trying to fight in the flesh, but there's actually something much bigger here. He said, don't you realize I could call legions of angels and do something about this? But then he says in verse 54, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. You see what he's saying? He's saying there was a bigger picture here to this persecution. It wasn't about flesh and blood. This was the bigger picture. Folks, listen, he was on his way to the cross to die for those people's sins that were persecuting him. He was on his way to the cross to die for you and to die for me. That's what all of this was about. There was a much bigger picture here. The Father's will was being done in this problem, in this persecution. What we see sometimes is the carnal, and we pull out the sword and we try to fix the carnal, and we try to fight the fight that's a fight that's only fought by faith. And we're trying to fight the carnal. And I'm telling you something, it's not a carnal fight. This is a spiritual fight. And there's something behind the fight, and you need to get a hold of the fact there's something behind the fight. You see, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. In Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's pierced my feet, pierced my hands. All those things were going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ in just a few minutes from what was going on. Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our iniquities. All those things are going to be fulfilled in just a few minutes. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. And I want you to understand something. I would have given you this verse. I'm not going to give you this one, but in John 19, 1 through 13, you can read that sometime if you get a chance. Jesus is now, from that point, is taken to Pilate. Now watch this. Now this is good. He's taken to Pilate. And before Pilate, Pilate in John 19 has the soldiers take Jesus, tie him up somewhere, and beat him with a cat of nine tails, scourging. And then he'd bring him back before the judgment and he would question him. And remember what Pilate said to him? Jesus wouldn't answer him the way Pilate wanted. And he said, don't you realize I have power to release you? And Jesus, the one that created Pilate, said, you don't have any power except I give it to you. You see what he's saying? Here's Pilate showing up. And this is the second thing I want you to get. I want you to understand there's a bigger picture here to the fights that we're fighting. But understand also, secondly, I want you to understand this, that there's a lot of people around us that we're dealing with, that their stronghold is fighting against our strongholds of our mind, and they might not even realize that they're being used of the devil. They don't even realize they've been blinded by what they've been believing. They don't realize any of it. They're just a product of what they've been in their life. They don't even realize that they're a problem. See, Pilate was going to deliver him up. Pilate's thinking, all I'm doing is doing my job. And you're going to fight against some people, and all I'm doing is just doing what I know to do. He's going to have soldiers that are going to beat him across his back, and eventually one of those soldiers is going to see him and go to pierce him. When he does, blood and water is going to come out, and that soldier is going to, at that point, start to believe. But up until that point, these men are beating the God that created them. And he could have called legion of angels and stopped all that was going on. But he understood there's a bigger picture here than what he was seeing, than what they were seeing. There's a bigger picture. It's not a flesh and blood fight. There's something bigger going on that we're not seeing. There's a bigger purpose to the persecution that we're facing, to the fighting that we're going through. There's a bigger purpose than what we may be able to see with our fleshly eyes. And the people that we're going against, look, some of the people that are out there protesting and doing the stuff they're doing, and some of them, listen, they think that they have a real significant cause that they're fighting. And they're very passionate about what they believe in. And some of them, they just don't understand what's going on in this world. And I understand that they may feel a certain way. They don't even realize that they've been lied to by a lot of things. Now, so what do we have? Now we have a fight. Now, let me tell you what Jesus did. Here's the pattern. This is the end of the sermon, is this. What did Jesus do when he was placed, flesh and blood now, placed on a cross? What did he do? How did he respond? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what he's saying? They don't even realize what they're doing. So I'm not going to fight them the carnal fight. This is a spiritual battle. And there's people in your families, there's people you work with, there's people all around us, and they're attacking, they're coming against beliefs, and maybe even some of our beliefs. We may have strongholds that maybe don't line up with the Bible, and that's in that case, we need to line them up with the Bible. Absolutely. Amen right there. Amen. And so as we do that, we're going to be bumping into people. You know what? Church, you say church would be great if it wasn't for people. That's right. Because we have strongholds in our own minds. And we bump into each other. But I want you to see, when you bump into somebody today at the grocery store and you hear somebody talking about, well, I don't believe in this or I don't believe in that, don't just realize something. You're not, when you bump into them and they had a stronghold and you got a stronghold, when you bump into them, realize this ain't about flesh and blood. This is about principalities and powers. There's something bigger at stake here. Because watch this now. There was something a lot bigger at stake. One of those soldiers that quite possibly had been involved in beating him is now receiving him at the foot of the cross. And it may be that some of these people that you're fighting in flesh and blood with, that if you'll handle it the right way, follow this now, if you'll handle it the right way, they may get saved. They may change. Their mind may click and they may line up with what the Bible says. And if we handle it the wrong way, folks, listen, if we pull out our sword because somebody doesn't believe something, Brother Fletcher, maybe I'm working with him and I see him at work and he believes something strongly and I pull out my sword, and which the Bible is the sword. You remember that, right? It's quick and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword. I pull out my sword and I try to lop off his head fighting with him, and I knock off his ear while I'm fighting with him. Guess what you will hear the Word of God with? What is it? Your ear. This is so simple. You're saying, this is so simple. I know it is. But you know what? When people don't have an ear, they can't what? Hear. And faith cometh by what? Hearing. Some of us are going to do a lot of damage to a lot of people by whipping out our sword and blasting people. What we need to do is realize that it's not time to blast them right now. You say, do you always get that right? Absolutely not. No, I get it wrong often as well. That's why a lot of times I feel like I should be sitting right there going, amen, preacher, that's right. We all need this type of thinking. We got to line our thinking up with God, and we need to be like the pattern that is Jesus Christ. We heard these verses the other day, and I'll just give you these verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, we heard these verses the day Pastor Van Dyke gave them to us. It said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Watch. 2:12, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that's lost people, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, watch, they may speak against us as evildoers, they may by your good works, very interesting verse, which they shall behold, they're going to see it, glorify God in the day of visitation. He says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man in the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme or to governors or to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and to the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that we with well-doing, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By good things that you do, we may actually put people to silence that are opposed to Christianity or to things of God. You understand that? We can put them to silence. In Romans 12:17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but watch, but overcome evil with what? Good. with good. One of the greatest examples of this is Acts 7. And remember, I'm trying to tell you that sometimes you don't understand there's a bigger picture. But in Acts chapter 7, Stephen's preaching. And as Stephen preaches, he's preaching a kind of a rough message, but he's telling the Jews there, he said, listen, you keep resisting God. You're in the Old Testament, they resisted him. You resisted Jesus Christ. Now you're resisting the Holy Spirit of God. You keep resisting. How long are you going to be resisting the Holy Spirit of God? And then he went on with all these things. And when he got to the end of his message, everybody didn't say, hooray, what a great message. Let's all go to the altar. Instead, they said it. They ran on him, gnashed on him with their teeth. Can you imagine that sight? I hope I'm never part of that church where on the way out, everybody grabs me and gnashes on their teeth. But he said he gnashed on the teeth, drug him out of town, grabbed some rocks, and stoned him to death. But he said before they did it, they took off their jackets and they laid him at the feet of, remember, who was it? Saul. Who would later become Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles that wrote most of our New Testament. Now, can you see it was a bigger picture? And what did Stephen do? As they're stoning him, as they're about to kill him, he looks up, sees Jesus, and he says, I pray that you will not lay this sin to their charge. Doesn't that sound familiar? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was a bigger picture. And he handled it the right way, and as a result, what happened? Paul never forgot it. And later on, Paul would give his testimony. He would give that as a testimony. He never forgot it. I sat down there the other day and watched Pastor Miller get up here the other day and preach for the fifth Sunday. And when he preached, he said the most amazing and crazy things happened. He said, I was listening to pastor preachers preaching about humility and all this different stuff. He said, I couldn't sleep that night. He said, the next morning, I couldn't sleep. I got up. He said, I went to work. He said, I began to think about the verse, what lack I yet? Remember him talking about this if you stayed. He said, what lack I yet? He said, I got to work. He said, I was sitting around with a bunch of Christian men and one man that I had been witnessing to for a while that was not saved. This is what he said. He said, I'd been thinking about it all night, thinking about it all night. He said, and I looked over to the Christian men that were sitting there and I said, I couldn't get this off my mind. What lack I yet? And the unsaved man who Pastor Miller said he'd been witnessing to for a long time, he said, the guy says, I know what you lack. He said, you lack humility. You're not humble enough. Now, for most men that are in a carnal mindset, them be fighting words. It could be if you were a carnal. And he said, excuse me, went outside. He said he actually wept over that thought and thought, Lord, maybe that is my problem. Now, I told him later, I said, you know, if I was to line up all the men that I know personally and line them up in a line and stack them from most prideful to least, you would be at the very end of that line. And what I know of you, and I've seen you for 15, 16 years, what I know of you, you would be at the very end of that line. Can I tell you what that may have been? Here's a man saying something accusatory against a brother, and he doesn't even know that he's been labeled, he's been used by the devil to be a button pusher. How many of you know what a button pusher is, right? Didn't even know he's the button pusher. He doesn't even know he's that person. Let me tell you what you never want to be. You never want to be the button pusher. Doesn't even know he's a button pusher. Doesn't even know he's a soldier with the whip or the pilot that's saying, I have power. He doesn't even know that's who he is. But he's pushing the button. And because here's a man, that man could pull out his sword and begin to start whacking, and that man may never hear. Or he can handle it the right way, and that man may end up coming to Christ. But I told him later, I said, you know what I think that was? That may have been God set up a perfect storm of all those things happening so that man could see godliness in action. You don't know what's going on around us sometimes. And again, this week, I went to go get a haircut. And as I was on my way to get a haircut, saw something that troubled me on Facebook, that kind of troubled me and really honestly kind of irritated me about military stuff. And it just cut a little bit to me. And I put that out of my head a little bit. I got to the haircut place, and I'm sitting down, and there's a long line. Shouldn't be a long line. I know I'm coming. This should be real easy. Just let me in. And so it was a long line. I sit in there, and they had the news on. I'm thinking, it could be anything. Please, cartoons, don't put the news on. They put the news on, and there was more twisted stuff here, more twisted stuff there. People are talking about anxiety that they're having now instead of PTSD. Now there's PEA. It's post election anxiety syndromes, and they're talking about how to deal with it and how to counsel children that are dealing with it. And I'm thinking little kids can't go to school now because they have PEA. It's building in me. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm just shaking my head. And other people in there are watching me. And I know they're thinking, this guy's going to explode here in just a minute. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm just trying not to let it bother me. And then something comes on, and they show a bunch of people burning a bunch of flags. And these are young men and women burning flags and saying they're doing it because they're representing their rights of peace in our country. And I'm thinking, this just doesn't make sense to me. The exact same time that I'm seeing all this, and it's building, it's building, and it's building, and my sword's starting to come out. I'm getting more irritated with this. I get a text from one of our brothers that's deployed right now, and he said, pray. It's bad right now. Things are tough right now. As soon as I got that text, I don't know how he's texting over there, but anyway, as soon as I got that text, as soon as I got it, a news thing came across that there was a bombing in Afghanistan. And some guys had been injured. I mean, this is all happening within like that. And I lost it. And I'm saying stuff to these guys, and I'm like, I can't believe this. And then that was all they needed. But they were on the bandwagon. Yeah, this is bad. And so you got to forgive me. I started firing off stuff on my Facebook deal. I'm like, man, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And I'm irritated with this, this, and this. And man, I became the Facebook Nazi that I don't like. I fired it all off. Didn't even realize it. I don't know if you realize this. When you shoot off your mouth, sometimes you have indirect fire that you hit. And you hit people that you didn't even mean to hit. That happens quite a bit. And you know what? A lot of times you end up making a bigger fool out of yourself by the time the whole thing is done. You got to be careful. Because I want you to see this is not a flesh and blood fight. There's a spiritual fight. And people are watching how Christianity is going to behave itself and how it's going to show Christian character in a time when everything is going crazy around us. And you may, I use myself as an example because you need to see it happens to everybody. You can have problems where you make a mistake. And you got to just deal with the mistake as best you can and you move on. But you got to have to realize where the battle's at. I say this all the time. G.I. Joe said, what did he say? He said, this is something about the battle and knowing knowing is half the battle. I knew it was something like that. I couldn't remember. I used to watch it when I was a kid. He says, now you know. That's what it is. Now you know. That was now you know. And what is it? And knowing is half the battle. It is. And you need to know that there's a fight that's really going on, and it's a spiritual fight, and you need to be involved in it in the faith way, not in the flesh way. Let's stand to our feet. Let me say this, if you've never been saved, you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, all this sounds completely odd to you. It's because you're walking in a different course. You haven't lined yourself up with the Word of God, meaning putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you have never done that, then you're still in your sins. And the Bible says the wrath of God abides on you. But you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Ask Him to save you. If you've never done that, you need to do it this morning before it's everlasting too late. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, we love you. We ask you to bless in our church today. Thank you for your word that it's truth. We can trust it. Father, help us, each one of us, to line up our thinking, the way we approach life, with your word. Help each one of us to take our thoughts and our strongholds and cast them down and bring them into captivity and align them up with the truths that is in your word. Father, help each one of us do it. Father, there's somebody here today that is lost, doesn't know you as your Savior. I pray that you'd help them to get saved this morning. For those that are here that are saved and are in this world we live in and having to deal with some of the things we're facing, I pray, Father, you'd help us to face those things with mercy and with grace and long-suffering and gentleness, that we'd be examples of you and that people might behold our conversation and glorify you. Father, help us. Help as only you can in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have invitation time.